I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I am obedient to the Lord. I am mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to be glad today. I just want to thank you all for coming here today and being with us as we sup on God's word. And giving honor to God, I want to read the scripture, and then we will take a seat. Psalms 1, 1 through 4 in the New King James Version. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And I went one more. The godly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. You may be seated. You may be seated before the Lord. Oh, that's some good tasty word today, and we're going to sup on it as long as we can, and then you're going to take the rest with you, and you're going to do what you've got to do while you can, where you can, and how you can. I'd like to thank God for our pastor and our shepherd. Thank you, Pastor Bolden, for all that you do, for keeping the vision of teaching God's people alive. Thank you for this opportunity to trust me with your people and ministers of the gospel. Friends, neighbors, but you know I want to give a shout out to them Women of Worth AM Bible Study. That Women of Worth Bible Study, they got me ready. Thank you. I enjoy being with you. Thank you so much for your support, your love, and encouragement. I have a husband that most of you know, and his name is Stacy R. Carswell, and I want to thank him for being my husband, and I want to just appreciate him for all that we have done and all that we will do. I want to acknowledge my children. Number one is in the house today, James C. Carswell, and he is the father of Jace Carswell, which you all know very closely. She was there performing earlier. And my ginger babies are here, Rihanna and Aiden. And I want to thank Candace for being the mother of my grandchildren. I thank God for that. And you know, I got that number one daughter is here, Every Carswell, my personal assistant. I thank God for you. And to my Sarahs that are here from Okaloosa County chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, thank you for your support online as well as in present. And I want to just thank you for what you've done in this past week of giving $40,000 to graduating seniors in Okaloosa, Walton, and South Santa Rosa County. We just want to thank you for that. Did you know you were a tree? Now, when you think of a tree, you think, let's not put your height involved, because some of us are a little bit more vertically challenged than others. But you are still a tree. And because you are a tree, you are always going to be taller than another because of who planted you and who created you. And we know who created us. It is the Lord our God who spent 6 days creating us and resting on the seventh day, and he created all things perfect for his glory and for his use. So today, I'm talking about trees, and I'm not talking about the maple, I'm not talking about the oak, and I'm not talking about the magnolia from my home state. I'm talking about the spiritual trees that are in this room, that are in the virtual rooms today. The spiritual tree persistently pursues a relationship with God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The spiritual tree wants to be with God, wants to know more about God, wants to live like God, wants to respond like God. And so therefore, that persistence in the tree is something that I wanted to remind us about today, because sometimes we get a little unfocused. That may not be a real word, but not focused on the fact of who we are and whose we are and how we respond in times like these. Because this is not a time not to pursue and be persistent in our fellowship with God. It has never been the time, but oh, baby, it's really not the time now, okay? So when we are, my goal for us today, for us, me, as well as for you, is to recognize that God, that you are a tree, God planted us, but the rest is up to us. The rooting and the growing and persistent fellowship is our choice. A spiritual tree has a choice. We have a choice to pursue God. We have a choice to be able to be persistent with God. And there are some reasons why we need to be rooted and grounded in God. There's some benefits to being rooted in God, and there is some responsibilities and some bad things that can happen if we don't. And no one in this room is freer than another in falling into the wrong category of our persistence. You might be peddling with only one foot. You may only have a little snub of a root, but you're still responsible for that persistence in fellowshipping with God. There's three trees that I want to remind us of, and I need to go real fast, okay? There's three trees that we can choose. The tree of good and evil, and we know where that was, right? We know what happened when the tree of good and evil was chosen by Adam and Eve. They had an opportunity to enjoy everything. When they were in the Garden of Eden, they saw glimpses of heaven, but their choice led us to that opportunity and that vision being taken away from us. Our opportunity to act like that was removed from that place in our lives. And so therefore, all that we've done so far to be here today, we have decided that we don't want none of that tree of good and evil. We don't want that. And the good and evil, it looks different than it did back then. You know, there's this thing, it's called, I gotta have it right now. I'm grown without the O, okay? And I need to be relevant in all circles. I need to be relevant in media. I need to be relevant to the person that's over here. I need to be relevant to the person over there. I need to be relevant. You need to know who I am. You need to see who I am. And I need to do all these things. And I need to know stuff. So I got to Google. I got to slide. I got to be in places. I got to go pursue those things. And then what did the word of God say? It said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where is your source? What is your information source coming from? Okay, I agree, be relevant. But where is your source? Because anything can be put on the internet. Anything can be written in a book. Okay? Anything can come out of anybody's mouth. But the word of God has stood true forever. Okay? So when you are looking for your relevance, when you are wanting to be grown without the O, you have to understand that it needs to match up with what is held true forever and ever. Okay? We have to make sure that we're not hanging out with the ungodly trying to live a life that is going to have us planted in this fellowship with God. The next thing is, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Where are you sitting? Who are you sitting with? Who are you sitting with today? Are you sitting by the right person? Or have you always sat there? That's my seat. That's where I want to be. But are you sitting by someone, or are you sitting up there with yourself telling you that I believe I'm supposed to be in this space? Who do you sit with on the bus? Oh, I'm too good for a bus. Oh, no, I have to drive myself in. I do not care about the smoke and the environment. I'm going to drive by myself. So sometimes being alone with God is good. Being alone with yourself, because we can tell ourselves some stuff that's just as scornful as if somebody was sitting there, you know, whispering in your ear, doing things. You know, sometimes it would be, you'd probably be safer going and sitting down under a bridge with the people that we think are ungodly because they sit under a bridge than sitting and listening to us. Because what this mind has a mind of flesh, and we have to persistently pursue God, persistently, daily, moment by moment by moment, so it does not act up. Paul said we have to kill this flesh daily, daily. So let's go on to the next tree. The next tree is the tree of Calvary. Oh, now we just had Easter Sunday, so I don't even have to tarry here long. We know what happened at Calvary. But do we? Because at Calvary, all the stuff that was going on with the tree of good and evil, we got placed back in wholeness with God. Do you know, sisters and brothers, today, you are whole because you have admitted that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because you believe that he died on Calvary and on the third day he rose. And I confess my sins and they have been washed away. I am whole. That's the tree that you have to remind yourself, that's where I want to be. That now we're in fellowship, okay? We've all decided we're going to leave the tree of God, you know, all that other stuff go. But now we back whole again. So what are we going to do with that wholeness? We're going to have to speak to the mind with the medicine that we need every day. And that medicine is called the Word of God. When you doubt, when you feel shaken, when you feel insecure, when you are uneasy about your day, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Everything that might want to try to cause us to be shaken and unwavering or not want to dig our roots in deeper, it has been removed. And we have to be reminded of that, because sometimes it comes in such a small, small way to disrupt your day. And it doesn't play fair. It's not fair that my life is like this. It's not fair that this is happening. Why is it happening to me? What happened at Calvary? What happened to our Jesus? Was it any of that fair? Was any of it, someone could have stopped it how many times? One person in that story could have stopped crucifying Christ at any moment. So therefore, I challenge us that when we take on our wholeness of God, we are that one person that is representing Christ in our persistent fellowship with him through the Word of God and through his people. Because the fellowship with God is the fellowship with his people. You can't have one without the other. All right? Amen. And then in Ephesians 2:4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. How many times have we wanted to do something as that new tree or that middle-aged tree or, you know, like Pastor, a little older tree. Okay. Hey, you know, he put me up here. You get me. Okay. You know, a little bit more seasoned tree. He got more circles in his he got more circles in his trunk. If you cut him open, he got a lot of circles. You know what I'm saying? Got 70 plus circles, right, Pastor? Amen. Glory. Okay? Because there's somebody that was out there on that football field with him in Montgomery, Alabama. They ain't here no more. Their circles were cut off. So no matter where you are and how many circles you've got, there are days when you can feel unworthy. You can feel like that stuff is still playing over and over again. I'm getting reminded of what I did yesterday. 15 years ago, 20 years ago. You can see a commercial. You can scroll through Facebook. You can see somebody that looked like somebody that you don't want to remember that somebody. But God, in this scripture says, who is rich in mercy, because great is his love, which he loved us. I can't tell you how many times I have to keep reminding myself with that scripture. That scripture drives me deeper, wider, and higher in God. And I'm not the only person in the room that has to remind themselves. See, fellow trees, when we come into being with God, we are no longer that tree that's just by itself. We're not that tree that can do it on its own. We're not that tree that says, hey, you know, I've always been, you know, I ain't never dealt with a bunch of people before. You know, I'm always like this, you know what I'm saying? Hanging with a bunch of people just ain't never been my thing. You know, and oh, the new word irritates me sometimes. You know, that ain't how I move. I don't move like that. You know, I like people, but I don't mess around with too many people, you know. That's my move. That's the tree of good and evil. Still trying to sprout up and keep you separated from the gang. Okay? Now, the 12 disciples in that time and the 12 disciples of us, 12 of us over here and 12 of us over there, we all would be considered a melee because we are hanging out together and we're hanging out for the right reason. We are gang for Christ. Amen. Call me what you want. We the church. But if you want to call me a gang, we'll act like a gang. Because the disciples had people that cut ears off, okay? They had people that fought, had a few people that had some choice words, you know? All of those things, and it's to remind us when we study God's word that I fit in the forest. But you got to decide to come into the forest because, see, the wider, older tree over there has some sturdy limbs, but you know what? More than that, he got some deeper roots, okay? So then when you get him and then you go out there and get Pop that should be sitting in here, he probably out there doing security. You know what I'm saying? You know who we talk about. Mr. James, you know, he got more circles too, okay? All right? So when you put him on the other side and he got a lot of circles, okay, and then we got some ladies in here that don't look like what they've been through and they 70 something, okay? You know, when you throw Ms. Marva in here, okay, you got some roots, but you also got some branches. You got some limbs. You got some leaves. You got some fruit. You've got some shade. You've got a fragrance that when you are out there on your own, you need that. So, because what happens in the root connection is that when you're the smaller tree and you're looking for water, you're looking for resources, you're looking for nutrients, what happens is your little baby roots start reaching out, and guess what they tap in? The older roots wrap around them, and so then when the wind comes and the storm comes and you get accused of something and something is brought back from your past, they hold you back. So So, oh no, baby tree, that's all right. We got you right now. And then daddy tree over there, you know, big daddy will say, oh, we got to lean over on this baby tree right now because the baby tree needed. And then Papa James be out there like, oh no, I got to lean to the left to get them. And then Miss Marva's over there with her, she fanning you because it's hot in here. It's hot in here. Okay, she know it's hot. She know it's hot. And then don't let it be cold, Miss Marva, the right one, because she sure got a blanket for you 24/7, 12 months of the year. If you cold, she got something for you. So trees, we got to come together and be a forest. And we got to link in together and lean. The gum oak, when I was studying this, it has only shallow roots. It's not going to ever go deep. But it lives in the forest because we got water oaks and other types of oaks that wrap around it. And when the storm comes, it gets held in. And when you have been somewhere and you've been through some things, your roots are deeper and wider. And your limbs are higher than you give yourself credit for. Take 2 seconds and just go back to one of those times when you saw your life flash before your eyes. We deeper. We stronger. We're wider because that didn't take us out. See, victory is mine. It's mine. You're in here today and you're victorious. You may not be where you want to be, but I guarantee you, brother and sister tree, you are victorious. When I was a freshman at Grambling State University, we got another school down there in Louisiana, but we don't talk about that. President Johnson said, and this, he brought all the baby trees into the auditorium the night we moved into the dorms. And he said, look to your left and right. He said, one of you's not going to be here in the spring. Okay? And I've told this story before. Sorry, I'm repeating it. Okay? I looked to my left, and I had Teresa. And Teresa was the baby of the family. And when it came to provisions, her family, she was provided for, okay? All right, look to my right, and there was another young lady, and I can't remember her name, but let me just say she was a PK. She's a preacher's kid, okay? The parents were in the back saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and they came down every Saturday and brought provisions and new clothes and new everything. Then you had this girl sitting in the middle, this little tree. This little tree had left her almost 2-year-old son with her grandmother and mother with the agreement that even if I wanted to become a doctor, I was going to do it 4 years and come on back and get the kid. Okay? All right? This was the little tree that grandmother would send $100 and $100. You could make it stretch. And my friends stopped walking with me to the bank because they was like, I can't believe we walking to the bank and getting out $10. And I said, well, I got to make it last. And I need $3 to wash my clothes. I need $4 for the liquor I drink. And I need $2 for those 2 times we're going to go to Spivey's Chicken, and we're going to have a 2-piece for about 75 cents to a dollar. Okay? Go ahead, man. You okay? This is who was in the middle. Okay? This is who in the middle. Okay, this is the one that didn't have that the biological father was in the background talking about he was a family friend. Okay, that's who's in the middle. I looked at the PK and said, it won't be me. I looked at the providing girl and said, girl, it ain't going to be me. I'm going to be here next semester. Okay? And they were like, yeah. And we were girls. Now, we were all girls. Okay? PK kid, she lasted to right after homecoming. So that's about October. Okay? Now, we ain't coming to school till August now. Okay? She lasted, what? You know, you do the math, sister. Okay? She didn't last because parents came down with the bags of groceries and all the clothes and all that stuff. And we're like, we thought she went home with you. What you mean, mama? And they're like, what? And then, you know, somebody know the story because in the dorms, you know, you gossip. You know, somebody knew, okay? But she had ran off and joined a guy in the army, you know, somebody she fell in love with in 3 months, okay? Then the provided for kid, Jerome, got in her ear. And Jerome says, yeah, go to college, but you ain't got to stay in the dorm. Come home every night, right? Because this is a country school, okay? So buses from the other parishes bring college students in and take them home every day if they can't afford to live where they are, okay? So she started riding that bus and listening to Jerome. Now, Jerome, not his real name, but I don't know, okay? She started listening to Jerome. She started getting late. She started missing the bus. And then he got to where he was like, you doing something down now. You need to come home and stay home. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And needless to say, it took her 20 years to finish that degree. Now, she a bad detective these days in the law enforcement thing, but it took her 20 years to get a degree. Little tree, you can say what you want to have right now, and God will do it for you. I did not know how I was going to do that, but all I knew is I wasn't gonna go home. And all you got to decide is that I am not going to go back to a situation in my life that tries to tell me that I got to be more important than God and I can just work on this and I can do all this and I can be over here and I can be with these people. I refuse to go back. And little tree, all you got to do today is just refuse not to go back and accept your wholeness. Accept that you are whole. Accept that the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed you. And take your redemption and get what the gifts, the information, the strength to go forward. Because the next tree is the tree of eternal life. If I'm going to go through all of this, I should get the reward at the end. Why am I going through all of this and I don't want to claim everything that is mine? Because we will stand in line. And I don't like this either, brother, but, you know, I'm just telling you. Brother, we will stand in line for a free redeemable coupon. We will call the manager. Because it said, you've been in front of, you've been behind somebody like that. We would call the manager because the coupon was not said that you had to have a purchase. It had to do this. But you ain't done all you can. But you'll stand there and argue with those people until you get your free dessert. That's right. And what I'm saying, trees, today, stand there. Okay, argue with the enemy and say, no, the devil is a lie. You're the father of all lies and you will not take my joy. You will not get in my way. I get thee behind me, Satan, and get away from me. I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. All my help cometh from the Lord. All of it. I don't know what's going to happen, but he said he's my shade at the right hand. He said he will not allow me to be taken out of his hands. I and the Father are one. That's how you fight. Stand for it. Stop standing out here wanting to do this stuff in this earthly world, but you won't stand for what is yours. We'll go to, in Louisiana, we have a community property state where if there's 15 children, it's 1/15 of whatever mama and daddy left. I have a very, someone that I look up to, my math teacher, his family had some land, and Mr. Windsor's 80-something years old now, okay? This land has been in probate since he probably first joined the Air Force in the 60s, late 70s. Because one family member either won't respond or fussing over it or feel like, Mama told me when I was over here on Sunday dinner that I was supposed to get all of that, so I ain't signing nothing. You know, I ain't doing nothing. So if they don't get it together before the children, the first children, get it together, what's going to happen? The government going to take it. Because while they don't want to do nothing with it, they don't want to take care of it. So there's these fees coming for not cleaning the land. It's some fees coming for not cultivating the land. The land you say you're not paying taxes on because you say it's agricultural, but you ain't planting nothing. Come on, trees, let it go. Take your 1/15th. Take your 1/15th. Live in your whole life. And there's a reason why you got 1/15th. And God's going to do something with that 1/15th. Because so what we do in the tree of Calvary and then the tree of eternal life, we play around with letting God in on this side of our lives, but we don't want God to be in that side of our lives. Let me tell you something. Whoo! Y'all all right? I'm good. We're trees planted by the rivers of water. The benefits of being in a persistent relationship with God, you understand justice. You're not worrying about everything. You're listening. God is listening to your prayers. You have deliverance from your fears. You are strengthened when you are persistent in your fellowship with God, and you find God. You find him. And you find yourself in verse 3 of our sermon, of our word. It says, he shall be, and I love that word, like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit. I'll wait for it in its season. So if it's not apple season, if it's not orange season, it ain't your season yet, little tree. Come on, tree. Okay? But it said in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Your 1/15th will prosper. Okay? But it's in its season. There are things that we are doing that right now, when you look back on your life, you were never prepared for. Boy, I'm going to tell you, come on. Boy, I wanted a husband so bad. I wanted a husband so bad. I went to this course, and the first lady and the pastor took the men, and the first lady took the women, and it was about two months now. I was in for it, too. I wanted a husband. And so it told us all these things and all this, and then my auntie called me, and she shamed me, and she said, you don't know how to make cornbread, so you ain't going to get no husband. And so I started learning how to cook. So when the first lady said, well, what you need to do? I need to learn how to make cornbread and rice, because they say that if I don't make cornbread and rice, I ain't gonna get no husband, you know what I mean? And I wanted a husband, okay? When we got through that series, I wasn't ready for no husband. I was not ready for no husband. Because, I grew up with brothers, and I was a little hard-headed. I resisted. You know, so I was not ready for Coswell, okay? And to be true about it, they sent me way over in Asia, in the Asian countries. And I lived there 3 years, and I was like, I want a husband. It wasn't time. There were some things that I needed to do. And one of the first things that I did when I went to the Philippines was that I got serious about Christ being in my life. And that was there was no room for that. I had to get that taken care of. Okay? First, I had to learn, ladies, how how to save money. But I didn't learn to tell my that I shouldn't tell my husband. Okay, because in order to lock me down, that dude spent all my money. Ooh, yeah, that dude made sure I wasn't going nowhere, brother. He's like, we need to buy this, and we need to do this. I'm like, wait a minute. So anyway, sometimes you're not ready for what you say, because if he's the man of the house, and he said we need windows, why do I want a kitchen? Because I wanted a kitchen. Okay? He wasn't wrong with what we were purchasing. It's just that you have to be ready. Well, now, the deeper I got with God when I was over there those 3 years, it kept me back from saying, oh, you ain't lost your mind. I ain't giving you nothing. I ain't telling you. Because where I came from, women were empowered secretly to hide money. You know, when I was probably coming, you know, Brother Mose in Louisiana, them mother teachers, you know, you pin it to your bra, okay? Don't you tell nobody, okay? You put it up on the carpet, don't you tell nobody. And I don't care what man you got, he don't need to know what you got. Now, you know that ain't biblical. We know that ain't biblical. We know that ain't none of that's right, okay? But we have to get deeper and wider so that we can understand and trust who we married to. Because the dude ain't never let the lights turn out, okay? He never had none of that situation. He's never done that, okay? But you have to get deeper. You have to learn what that word is, and then you have to apply it to your life. Apply it to what you're doing, okay? Because that's what's going to make you stronger and ready to hang out with other trees so that you can be in the forest and be happy. As I close, the tree that is on the screen is a juniper tree. And the juniper tree is mentioned several times in the Bible. And it has so many values to it. But often, the juniper tree is by itself because it can grow in very hot, desolate places. Now, the juniper tree is the tree that Elijah was up under when he was running from Jezebel. He was running from a lady. Let's not go there today, okay? Okay? But he was running. And he went up under the tree, and he really just thought he was going to go up under that tree and die. There are some of us today hearing this. You're still trying to be that tree in the desert by yourself. It's not that you don't have qualities and properties and play a major role in the kingdom of God. And you can make it out there, but you don't have to. You can persistently pursue God in fellowship and fellowship in the forest and be longer lasting. Now, the juniper tree is, you will hear it. They used it for, it was good fire. It was like coal. It would just keep you warm if you, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It would just burn, and it burned like a little, like it was coal. They called it juniper coal, okay? Coal. Okay, now, a disease comes upon the juniper tree when it's by itself. And this disease, we know, will kill trees, right? Or make trees not the greatest. But because God planted the juniper tree in the desert, because God said, there's water under there, trust me, go seek it. Okay, the juniper tree survives. And there are people like Job that had to take part of that infection from the disease, from the tree, the disease, and it was medicine. While you over here by yourself, and what you think you are going through, or how you may be infected with something, God can turn it into medicine for someone else. So we have to come together and persistently fellowship so that the greater good always comes out. Because God does not create anything, and nothing lives if God don't want it to live. Nothing is planted if God don't want it to be planted. Nothing is strong if God don't want it to be strong. We have to choose that we're going to go to the finish line. We know we're whole, and we know that we have the right to the tree of eternal life, where there's multiples and multiples and multiples of benefits. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we got a fellowship. Fellowship with one another, and we got a fellowship in that word. Find your way. There's nothing wrong with listening to the Bible. There's nothing wrong with reading the Bible. There's nothing wrong with a daily devotion. There's nothing wrong with how you talk to God. But you know what is wrong? If you don't do it. Because verse 4 says if we don't do it, we wither. And the wind blows us away. Our hearts have been heavy in Okaloosa County. I got 23-year-old nephews. I got 23-year-old cousins. I got a son. Every time I hear it, I grieve. It don't have to be in Okaloosa. When I hear it, the forest grieves. When I hear it, I want to just pray over the mothers and the fathers that had that got those calls. And what is going on now? It is saying Okaloosa. And it's saying Striving for Perfection Ministries. It's saying Ernestine, Miss Jessie, brother, sister, all of us, it's time. It's time. It's time to take care of our forest. It's time to lean in. It's time to stand on what we know is right. Amen. And you won't know what's right if you don't have that personal communication with God that says, what do I do? What do I do about this situation? How can I affect it? How can I do it? No, sending flowers is not it. It might be, but it may not be that. It may not be anything with reaching out to that family, but it may be reaching in to these other families that are petrified and not letting their kids go to school and not and keeping their kids too close to home and smothering them because they're worried about if they little black boy or they little black girl or they little dark girl goes somewhere, how are they going to be treated? And that's not living for God, because we have dominion over what? Everything. So your persistence in your fellowship with God has to get stronger so you can allow your little saplings to go where they got to go and do what they got to do and be there for them. And you can listen to God and say, oh, I better show up. Oh, I better show up. Oh, I better show up. When Jace went to kindergarten, I think it was kindergarten, whatever. I know she was going to something important with school, okay? And her daddy came over, and he had young people clothes on, okay? And I said, okay. So I said, oh, Ernestine, mind your business. Mind your business, Ernestine. I said, no, I can't mind my business. Son, you're going to walk your daughter in school. Don't nobody know you, and don't nobody know her. Go in that school like she belonged to somebody. I need you to dress like she belonged to somebody. Okay? Now, people might know Yaya around here in town, okay? But they need to know that you her daddy, okay? So you go in there and you put something on that makes it look like you her daddy, okay? Sometimes you do have to still ask God when to mind your business, but that wasn't one. Okay? And fathers and men, you need to act like your children, your nieces, your nephews, your cousins, your little brother that you call little brother because we don't know, but their grandma raised his mama, all of them, you need to carry yourself like they are important. You got to carry yourself like they are important. Mothers, hey, sisters, you don't have to birth any children, but carry yourself Be the tree that they say, our daughters and our sons and my nieces and my nephews, my brother-in-law, they mean something. I tell you what, in closing, my brother-in-law was having a problem with his scholarship at FAMU. You know, and I told him not to go there, okay? But, you know, he went, all right? And my in-laws basically gave us Gerald, okay? It's, you know, I was the girlfriend, and I had Gerald for the summer and spring breaks. I don't know. So I guess I knew I was in, brother. You know what I'm saying? And I bought a rice cooker, okay? I brought a rice cooker because that brother there could cook some grits, so we good, all right? We good. So they were causing him, and everybody was going back and forth, and my father-in-law fussing and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm listening. I called Gerald. I said, give me that number. Give me that number for financial aid. I said, and the student recruiter that recruited you from your high school to come there. Give me their numbers. He said, okay, but you know, they said they don't answer the phone. Give me the numbers. Hello, this is Ernestine Carswell, and I am the mother of Gerald Carswell. I am responsible for him, and he has come from Georgia to be in your engineering program, and there seems to be a problem with you giving him his scholarship and paying his fees. I need an answer today, okay? Now, the next phone call is to the student engagement that brought him down here. The next call is to financial aid. The next call is to the president of the university. I need an answer because it is important. He is following in his brother's legacy of being an engineer. He is doing what his parents told him to do because my father-in-law told them they were going to be engineers. They didn't get choices, okay? Told them they would be engineers. You going to be mechanical, and the other son going to be electrical. Good choices, too, because he handy. I don't know. The other one wouldn't have been a bit mechanical. Ain't that right, baby? He know theory. You know how to do it, don't you, baby? I don't care. Sisters, carry yourself. Brothers, carry yourself, that every black and brown individual, every person matters, and they belong to you, and so that they will treat them like they treat you. They will treat you how you pray. They will treat you how you have a presence wherever you are.